Amen, amen. Open your Bibles tonight, if you would, to the book of Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 is where we're going to begin tonight. We started last week a series from the life of Peter, and we're talking about a disciple's journey, because I'm persuaded that God has called each one of us to be disciples. Is that true? I know I mentioned it a lot, but John 8:31 says, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." And we want to be disciples indeed. That means true disciples, real disciples. And so if we want to do what Jesus has called us to do, we don't just believe in him. That's just the beginning, but we continue following him and abiding in his word as real disciples. And so we're trying to learn about his journey. And Peter was different when he was crucified upside down for the cause of Christ than he was when he first met Jesus. You guys agree with that? You think he was a different guy when he was led to the cross than he was when Andrew ran in and said, "We found the Messiah"? Yeah, God had done a work. The Lord Jesus Christ had done a work. The Spirit of God had done a work to transform Peter from one thing into something else. And it was a journey in his life. He changed him from a fisherman to a fisher of men. He changed him from a man who was impulsive in his flesh to one who was disciplined by the Spirit. From somebody who was fearful to courageous. From doubting to faith-filled. From self-reliant to dependent on the Spirit of God. He moved him from being proud to being humble, short-sighted to eternally minded, from following at a distance to leading out front, leading others to Jesus Christ. And so God worked in his life, changed him a ton. I'm going to ask you tonight, have you ever felt like you were growing in faith, but you were still making mistakes? Like, I'm growing. Things are changing. God's working in my life, but I'm still messing up. Well, that was certainly something that Peter can teach us about. So if you're able, let's stand together. We're going to begin at Matthew 8, verse 14. Matthew 8, 14 will be our first verse. And we're going to just walk through some snapshots, if you will, of Peter's life in following Jesus. If the lights go out, it's okay. It's not me screaming, it's Zach. Okay? We're gonna walk through, we're gonna look at some snapshots of Peter's life and see how God worked in these situations as he moved forward. Last week we kind of saw the start of a disciple because his brother brought him to Jesus. That's how we all start, by somebody bringing us to Jesus. And now we're gonna see the progress of a disciple, how God worked in his life to grow him. So let's pray. And then we'll read here Matthew 8, 14. Whose word are we about to read? Okay, so God's going to speak to us, and we want to have ears to hear. We want to listen to him tonight. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity together. And we do pray for our brothers and sisters, others who are not able to be here. I know a lot of people are sick, and we pray, Lord, for healing for them, for families that aren't feeling well, for individuals. Just please give them grace. Be with families who have lost loved ones. Lord, comfort their hearts. Not just now, but in the weeks, months, and years to come, help them to be comforted by your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus, the peace that that brings us. And I just pray that you'll give us grace and strength tonight. Teach us by your word. I pray your Holy Spirit would guide us in all truth. Please, Lord, help me. I'm nothing without you. And I pray that you'll bless your word in spite of me. And Lord, help us all to be disciples who make disciples. And Father, if anyone here or watching online has never been saved, they've never made the decision to turn away from their sin and unbelief and call on the name of the Lord. They've never trusted in you as their Savior. I pray that they will tonight, even before this message is over. Let the lost be saved, and let the saved be fully surrendered to you. Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. While you're still standing, verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Amen. Please be seated. I want you to see, first of all, as we look at the Apostle Peter's life, Peter's transformation went from fisherman to fisher of men, but his process, it was a process, it wasn't instantaneous. Sanctification is the process of a lifetime. It was a process of growth, a process of failure, a process of repentance, of coming back to Jesus, of being corrected and taught and growing some more. And so it's like climbing up a mountain where you're gonna slip and stumble. You're going to slide back down a little bit. And it's not just, listen, it's not an escalator ride to the top. It's a struggle. It's a battle. And the Lord's right there to help you all along the way. But you're going to fall down sometimes. You're going to slip back sometimes. And God's going to help us along the way. So it's a process. It's not perfection. And the Lord Jesus is so patient with us that he will continue to teach us. He'll continue to correct us. He'll continue to strengthen us as we seek to follow him. So what we see, first of all, is we're going to learn from Jesus his power and his compassion. One of the first events that we see after Peter answers the call, when Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, and they left their nets and the boat and everything there and followed him. One of the first events we see is this healing of his mother-in-law. And Peter sees firsthand Jesus's power over sickness and his compassion for others. Not only that, Matthew reveals that, and I don't know that Peter understood it, but we get to read it, that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah said when Messiah would come, he would take away infirmities. He would take sicknesses away from others. He would heal. And that's exactly what we see him doing. So he puts his hand on her and heals her. And there's a lot of sickness going around. And I know we're praying for people to be healed. And sometimes God just takes it away just like that. And sometimes you got to suffer for a while. Right? But we understand today that Jesus is the one who has the power to heal. He is the great physician. Now, why does he take it away immediately for some and sometimes it's prolonged? I don't know. I just know that when I get sick, I want him to take it away immediately. Right? I want that for you too, not just me. We see that he had power. Jesus had the ability to make the fever go away, and he had the compassion to as well. I want you to He saw the power of Jesus. He saw the compassion of Jesus. And listen, when you see Jesus and you study the Bible and you see what he did and how he loved, it teaches us about who he is. It helps us to know him. He's one who had the power. He had the ability. He's one who had the love. So I want you to think about it. Has God shown you compassion in your life? We can read about it in the Bible. And I'm really thankful. You say, well, she just had a fever. Well, listen, guys, it wasn't that long ago that a fever was deadly dangerous, right? It's not like she could just go down to Walmart's and buy some Tylenol. It's not the way it was. And so Jesus healing her very well may have saved her life. We don't know. The point is that it was a serious situation. Jesus loved her, and he had compassion on her. We can read about how he had compassion back then. But you can also look in your own life, and you can see how he has had compassion for you. He's had compassion for us. He's loved us. So what do? And we see how much God loved others. We see how much he's loved us. Then by love, we ought to serve one another. You see how it's supposed to continue on? He loved us, so we're supposed to love others. He loved Peter's mother-in-law, and therefore it showed Peter that he ought to love others as well. We're going to keep moving quickly because we got several accounts to look at. Mark chapter 5, if you would. Mark 5, 35. No, sorry, just kidding. Mark 5, 21. Mark 5, 21. And when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. So here is a ruler of the synagogue, Jairus. His little girl is very sick, near to death. He finds Jesus, falls at his feet, and pleads with him to come and heal his daughter. And Jesus goes with him. Now, there's an account in the middle. I'll let you read it later, something that happens on the way, another demonstration of the great power of Jesus. But jump down to verse 35 to pick up this narrative. Verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master or the rabbi, the teacher, any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. I want you to stop for a second. I want you to imagine this man, Jairus. His child is sick. He's a ruler of the synagogue. He probably has a position of power. He probably has some money. He's probably done everything that he knows to do to try to help his little girl, and nothing has worked. But he hears that Jesus is around, and he's heard about Jesus, and he's heard about his power, and so he runs to Jesus. Remember, we just read about it before this, how Jesus healed everybody who came to him was sick. Jesus was healing everybody, demonstrating his power in front of everybody who was there. So he runs and falls. He begs him. They make their way through all the crowd, and everybody's in the way. The woman with the issue of blood has stopped Jesus, touching the hem of his garment. She's healed. All that stuff's gone on. And now when they're finally making it through the crowd, somebody comes up and says, Don't bother him anymore. She's gone. I don't know if you can try to put yourself in his place tonight, but how awful would that be? She's gone. Nothing else that could be done. And Jesus looks at the man and says, Be not afraid. Only believe. You guys still with me? There are a lot of impossible situations in this world. But nothing's impossible with God. Be not afraid, only believe. Verse 37, he suffered no man to follow him except for Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. They laughed Jesus to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. So they get to the house. Everybody is weeping and wailing. They are crying because the girl had died. Jesus says, Why are you making this big ado? She's not dead. She's just asleep. And they laugh Jesus in his face. And so Jesus puts them out of the house. Everybody, except for the parents and Peter and James and John, the three. And then he goes to where she's laying. And look at verse 41. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. Isn't that awesome? Man, she's gone. Don't bother him anymore. Don't be afraid, just believe. And Jairus apparently believed. Would you agree with that? Seems pretty apparent to me that he believed. Because he goes with Jesus. And when Jesus says, she's not dead, she's alive. And they all laughed at Jesus. He didn't laugh at Jesus. And when he puts everybody out, Jesus doesn't put him out. But takes him and his wife with him. And he speaks to the girl and says, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Immediately she gets up and she walks. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it. And commanded that something should be given her to eat. So we just see a next level. The first time we see Peter's mother-in-law, she has a fever. Jesus heals her. Jesus shows his power over sickness and his compassion for those who are sick. Now he shows his power over death and his compassion for those who are dead. Is this about physical death Well, listen, this young lady was dead physically, but what it teaches us is that Jesus has power over all death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. He has the power to raise the dead to life again. He has the power to raise those who are dead in their trespasses and sins and give them life. Who has the power over life and death? Well, Jesus does. God alone has the power over life and death. You know what Jesus is showing? He's showing that he is God. He's showing that he is the one who has the power to forgive sin. He is the one who has the power not only to heal the sick, but to bring the dead to life again. He's showing that he is God. And being disciple means that you're growing and you're understanding not just what kind of power he has, not just how much he loves, but that he is in fact God. It's learning who he is, to know who he is. And how do we do that? Listen, Peter got to be in the room. And can I just say, Peter got to see some amazing things while he followed Jesus, right? And you say, man, it would have been so awesome to be there, to stand in the room. You know what Peter would say later? He would say, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We're going to look at the Mount of Transfiguration later, but he said, let me tell you what's even better than seeing Jesus in all his glory is the written word of God, that God has given to us, preserved for us, and kept with us forever. We have the word so that we can know him. Be not afraid, friends, only believe. So who is Jesus? John 11:25. Anybody know that one? I mean, you don't have to quote it. I'm not going to put you on the spot. John 11:25. I bet you can quote it now. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Yet shall he live. He is the power of life and death because he is God. So learn about Jesus' power. Learn about his compassion. That's what being a disciple is about, is learning who he is. And then we need to learn to trust him and walk by faith. Can you find Matthew 14, if you would? Back to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Find verse 22. Matthew 14:22. Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent them the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So there is a massive crowd of people. Jesus sends them away, tells the disciples, go get in the boat, go to the other side. But Jesus went back into the mountain, and there he prayed alone till it was nighttime. You guys with me? Good. By the way, Jesus went to pray alone a lot. What a testimony for us. How much more do we need it? If God's only begotten Son made sure that he got alone with his heavenly Father, spent time with him, how much more do we need that? Make prayer a priority in your life. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Now, just stop. I know you guys have read this. I know everybody in the room and probably everybody watching online has known the story of Jesus walking on the water. I think the whole world knows about Jesus walking on the water, right? Anybody that's ever heard of Jesus probably heard that he's the man who walked on water. Now, I don't know if they believe it or not, but I know that he walked on water. But you guys have known it so long, I think it kind of slips, like, how awesome it is. Like, it loses its impact a little bit. So I just want you to imagine, you're out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. It wasn't huge, but there were big storms that would hit it and very dangerous. So they're out there being tossed around on the waves. The wind is up. The wind is blowing. The waves are crashing around. And all of a sudden, they see something, someone walking on the water. Now, you might read that and be like, what's wrong with those guys? I thought they were grown men. What does it say? They were troubled and said it was a spirit, it was a ghost. and they cried out for fear. What would you do? You would say, it's a ghost! Ah! Or you would keep it to yourself and pretend like you didn't see anything because you didn't want everybody else to think you were crazy. Right? I don't know if you guys have ever been there where you thought you saw something, but you're not sure. How many of you guys ever driven sleepy, like at night, drive sleepy? Anybody do that? Go ahead, confess. It's good, so you can repent. It's a really dumb thing to do, by the way. And I've done it many times. Lord, forgive me. You're driving sleepy. You ever see stuff when you're driving sleepy? Anybody? I'm the only one? Okay, I'm just... You know, when you see stuff, it's like, okay, it's time to pull over for a while. I mean, if I was out there and I saw something walking on the water, I would probably think I was seeing something. Like, it would be hard to believe. And it's no wonder, like, their first thought wasn't, oh, it's Jesus. That's not their first thought. Their first thought is it's a ghost. And so they are terrified. I love the way our Bible says it. They were troubled. Yeah, you think? So there they are, scared to death. They're scared out of their minds. They're screaming, crying out with fear. But straightway, immediately, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. These guys are screaming like little girls. They're terrified. And Jesus' first words are, be of good cheer. He's saying, take courage. Don't be afraid, because it's me. Do you think they recognized his voice? You think it changed things for them when they heard Jesus? Hey guys, don't miss this. There's going to be times when you're troubled, when you're scared, when you're afraid, when all you want to do is cry. Listen, because Jesus is talking. And he would say to you, take courage. Be of good cheer. I'm here. You don't have to be afraid. Those were such encouraging words when I was a kid. If I got scared in the middle of the night, mom or dad would come in and say, it's okay. I'm here. You're okay. I got you. You guys with me? You know that? You guys remember that? And you're like, no, I don't remember being a kid. Well, you were one time. And you were afraid one time. And your mom or your dad or your grandma or somebody came in and said, it's okay, honey. I'm here. You're safe. And Jesus is there for us like that, except infinitely more. It's okay. Don't be afraid. I'm here. And so he says, it's me. Don't be afraid. Peter said, man, I love Peter. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. So these other guys, everybody's screaming. They're crying out with fear. Jesus says, don't be afraid. It's me. And Peter's first thought was, I'm going to get to walk on water. I love this guy. Like nobody else in the boat's thinking, I wonder if I could walk on water too. But that's the first thing Peter thinks of. Sometimes I wish I could like watch the video of what was going on in Peter's head sometimes. You know what I'm saying? So the Lord says, verse 29, one word, come. Hey, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come out on the water to you. And he says, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, I know you guys know the rest of the story, and I know we're going to talk about his doubt and his fears and taking his eyes off Jesus, and that's all true. We'll get there, but just get this. He got out of the boat, and when he stepped on the water, he didn't sink. He took another step and another step going towards Jesus. Can you imagine what that was like? What did it feel like? What did he look like out there trying to balance on the waves? I mean, I don't know. Have any of you ever tried to walk on water? You've gone skiing, right? Anybody ever water ski? A few of you have? Yeah? Anybody drink gallons of lake water trying to water ski? Yeah. Listen, I've seen people ski barefoot. That's the closest thing I've seen somebody do, like even anywhere near walking on water. But guess what happens when they lose the power of the boat? Yeah, they skim for a while, but sooner or later, they're going down, right? Peter walked on the water. So, yeah, maybe he was impulsive. Maybe he was rash. But he believed. It's a tremendous demonstration of his faith in Jesus. He didn't really fully understand who Jesus was. He didn't fully understand the power of Jesus, but he was learning, and he was willing to take that step in the middle of a storm to step out of the boat onto the water. So he did. And his purpose, look at this, was to go to Jesus. That's what he was doing it for. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. And that's how we're going to have to go anywhere, is by faith, and we're going to have to be always pursuing Jesus. And of course, we get to verse 30, but, right, here it is. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore, why didst thou doubt?" Why did you doubt? So here he is, he steps out, he's going to Jesus, but then he takes his eyes off Jesus and he starts to look at everything else, right? And then the Bible says this, beginning to sink. And I don't want to make too much of it if it's not to be made too much of, but I just want you to think about this logically for a second. How many times have you ever gone into the water and began to sink? Because when I jump in the water, I don't begin to sink, I just sink. It's almost like the Lord, like in some way, was still keeping him up. Like he didn't just immediately go under. Like it was a gradual thing. He began to sink. Now, like I said, I don't want to make too much of it, but I just, it's what it says. Like if you go out to the river today or to the lake and you jump in, most of you aren't going to begin to sink. You're either going to sink or you're not, right? Some of us sink more than others. I don't know. My mom could go to the lake. She could lay flat on the lake and just float like she's on. Yeah, y'all are weird. I can't do that. She's like, "Just relax, lay back." And I'm blah, blah, blah. I can't relax. There's water in my lungs. Okay. Sorry. I don't know. My kids, I didn't teach them to swim very well, because the way I learned to swim was my mom threw us in the lake. Right? And I guess if we had started to drown, they might have tried to save us. I don't know. I'm not sure. And she would get out in the water with me, and she would back up and say, "Come here, come here, come here." And she just kept swimming backwards, and I'm drowning. I didn't die, though. I don't think. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, "Lord, save me." How long did it take Jesus to save him? Immediately Jesus reaches out his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." As soon as he cried out to Jesus, "Lord, save me," Jesus grabbed his hand. And it doesn't say it, but look, they were coming to the ship. What happened when Jesus got a hold of him? They walked together on the water back to the boat. They walked together back to the boat on the water. But Jesus rebukes him. Jesus is correcting him. Jesus is teaching him. And he says, "O thou of little faith, why did you doubt?" And I want you to get this. Where was the rest of the disciples while Peter's walking on water? Peter, Jesus rebukes him and says he has little faith. But he got out. He walked on the water. I'm going to tell you this. However much you trust Jesus, you can trust him more. I'm not even sure that we understand the limits of our capacities. Like, I think that when we look at ourselves, we think, you know what, I'm a pretty nice person. I have faith. I believe God. You know what? I love other people. I love others. But I want you to get this. I believe our capacity through the work of God is far greater than we comprehend. What I'm trying to say is, however much you love, you can love more. However much you believe, you can trust more. And he's saying to the one who got out of the boat, "Why did you doubt?" And here's what we want to do. What do we want to do? Well, we want to learn to trust Jesus, and we want to learn to walk by faith. What do we have to do? Well, we have to focus on Jesus and not our circumstances. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Focus on Jesus, not your circumstances. When you start to doubt, what happens? Well, I've stopped looking at God. I've stopped looking in the Word of God. I've stopped studying the Word of God and reading the Word of God and hiding it in my heart. I've stopped looking at His truth, and I've started looking at things around me. That's when our faith wavers, isn't it? Guys, listen, if you're watching the news more than you're reading your Bible and you're really worried and you're really afraid, no wonder. If you spend more time watching shows on Netflix than you do reading your Bible, and you just don't have any faith and you don't have any hope and you have all this anxiety and fear, there might be a correlation there. And what I'm saying is we've got to look into the Word of God. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus, because if we don't, it's going to bring doubt. And I can tell you this. I don't know any honest Christian in the world who's never struggled with doubt or worry. Okay? But I can tell you this. Personally, every time that I've struggled with my faith, every time I've struggled with doubts, it's because I was not in the Word like I should have been. And the more time I spend in the Word, the more He strengthens my faith. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So get in the Word, He helps your faith. Let's look at a couple more real quick. So we want to, one, learn from Jesus' power and compassion. Two, trust. Learn to trust and walk by faith. And number three, learn who Jesus is and listen to Him and obey Him. Matthew 16, 13. Should be just a couple of pages for you there. Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Okay? Who do other people say you are? Same thing's true today. You can ask a lot of people, who is Jesus? And the world will have all kinds of answers. All right? He saith to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah," or son of Jonah, "for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." He confesses who Christ is. Peter gets it, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Faith requires a right understanding of who Jesus is. Who is He? He's the Christ. What's that mean? It means He's the Messiah. What does that mean? It means when you go to the Old Testament and God gave tons of prophecies and promises of the one who was going to come, the anointed one, the chosen one, the Savior of the world, that's Jesus. So if you go back to the Old Testament, you find one of those verses and it says that Emmanuel is going to come. He's going to be God with us. Well, that's Jesus. When He says there's going to be one who's going to come, who's going to be everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, all of that, who is that? That's Jesus. Who's going to be the seed of the woman who's going to bruise the serpent's head? That's Jesus. And so that's Peter had an understanding, at least at some level, of who He is. Now, what do we need to understand? We need to know who He is. But it can't just be something we know here. We have to know Him in our hearts. We need to have a personal confession of who He is. What am I talking about? Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And can I just say this? What you really believe in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, if we believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then we'll confess it, we'll say it, we'll open our mouths and affirm it. And so He boldly declares who He is, boldly tells who He is. And then it goes on to say in verse 18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, a small rock, and upon this rock, a large rock, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged He His disciples that they should tell no man He was Jesus the Christ. Now, boy, we don't have time to dig into this, but just get this. Jesus said, "I'm going to give you something, Peter, and I'm going to use you as I build my church. Whose church is it? It's Jesus' church. He says, my church. I'm going to build my church. Peter was going to be instrumental in the building of it. Now, we have some people in the world today who tell you that what happened here is God, Jesus, made Peter the first pope and gave him special authority to declare things, and that authority has been passed down through those men throughout the generations. And I can tell you one thing for sure, Jesus is the one with all authority. Everybody with me right now? This is really important. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. It's his authority, no man's. Boy, you guys got to get this. It's not given to, it's not our authority, it's his authority. Always his authority. What we have is commands to obey. Not authority to decide what we do or don't do. So, he gives them that. Now, we want to move on real quick. Verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Now Jesus starts teaching them, I have to go to Jerusalem. I have to suffer. I will die, but I'll rise again the third day. And Peter takes him. It's almost like Peter literally puts hands on Jesus, kind of brings him to the side and says, no, Lord, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to let the Jews take you. I'm not going to let anybody hurt you. Now, I think Peter had really good motives, don't you? I think he loved Jesus. And I think the thought of seeing Jesus arrested or hurt in any way, like he was going to do anything he could to prevent that. But was he right? Well, let me help you out tonight. Anytime Jesus says this is going to happen and you say no, you're in a bad place. Anytime you can read your Bible and it says, thus saith the Lord, and you're like, not so, Lord. You're in a bad place. So this is where he is. These words are hard for me to read. Peter took Jesus and began to rebuke him. Who? You know, the guy who calms storms and raises dead people to life again? That's the one. And he's trying to, I'm going to set you straight, Lord. Isn't that silly? Aren't you glad we don't ever do stuff like that? Have you ever tried to resist what God was doing in your life? Have we ever tried to fight against what God said? I mean, goodness, just at the baseline, have we ever read the Bible and be like, no, I don't think that's right. Let God be true and every man a liar. God is the truth. Now remember, what did Jesus just say to him a couple of verses before? Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Wasn't that awesome? I told you last week, like, this is one of his gold star moments. Like, this is, it's like, this is great. Good job, Peter. And notice how far from that we are. We're like 3 or 4 verses down. And I want you to look at what the Lord Jesus says to him in verse 23. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. I think it's like Jesus gave him the gold star and then he went and took it off the board. You guys, this is how quick it is for us. We can be in the spirit, aligned with the word of God 1 second, and a few moments later, we can be completely contrary to God and his truth. We're just like that because we have these natures. We've got the spirit that lives in us. God is changing us from the inside out, but we still have a carnal mind to wrestle with. And we have fleshly bodies to wrestle with. And it is easy for us to switch from one to the other. And what we need to do is ask God to help us to stay in the spirit and not walk or fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Lord rebukes him. The Lord corrects him. And I want to tell you, I think Peter took the correction. I think it changed him. I mean, listen, guys, if Jesus came down right now to you and got in your face and said, get behind me, Satan, would that have an impact on you? You don't savor the things of God. You don't love the things of God. All you care about is worldly things, fleshly things, things that are of men. You're not concerned about my kingdom and the things that really matter. Would that not get your attention? Listen, I can tell you this. I've been dressed down by my dad and coaches and uncles and grandpas and some, I can't even finish the list. I've been dressed down by a lot of people, and every time it has an impact on me. But Jesus is getting in his face and saying, listen, you are against me, Peter. You don't love, you don't savor the things that are of God. You are contrary to everything that I'm trying to accomplish. And I think it changed Peter in his core. And I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes we have really good intentions. Peter had good intentions. But friends, we have to trust God's plan even when we don't understand it. We have to trust God's plan, especially when we don't like it. We just have to learn to trust him above everything else. Learn who he is. And when you do that, learn to listen to him and obey him. Tonight, I'm going to ask our musicians to come. We're going to finish our service tonight with a song. Will you stand with me, please? The Lord was working in his life. He was teaching him things. He was showing him his power, his ability, so he would understand who he was. And as Peter started to understand who Jesus was, then he could understand, start to learn to trust him and obey him. And the Lord was working in his life all the time. Listen, friends, discipleship is a journey. And praise God, Jesus is patient when we mess up. And he'll strengthen your faith. And he'll call you to trust him more and more. So see who he is tonight. Trust him and obey him. I don't know what he might be calling you to tonight through his word, through his conviction, through his spirit. But I know this. He'll show you what he wants you to do, and he'll give you the ability to do it if you'll just surrender to him. So if he's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.